Frequently, one or both of the principal themes will be broken down into its basic motives during a development section. We will hear, fourthly, lots of sequences. These motives will be repeated at higher and lower pitch levels as harmonies change. But you see, we're not hearing a theme in its entirety. We're just hearing fragments. So this does not sound like a thematic statement. And lastly, and most importantly, modulation. Constant modulation creates the sort of harmonic instability and tension characteristic of development sections. Mozart's development section is in five parts, and we hear that not because of cadences, but we hear it because he keeps changing texture from homophony to polyphony and back. If, my friends, if the job of the composer in the development section is to maintain constant harmonic instability, and if most expositions end with a firm and unambiguous closed cadence, then what is the first job a composer has at the beginning of a development section? The composer has to gut our sense of tonic. The composer has to disrupt completely whatever harmonic stasis, resolution, and rest we felt at the end of the exposition. That's the first job, to destroy the sense of rest and tonic we just experienced at the end of the exposition. Indeed, Mozart is going to not just remove our sense of tonic, he's going to annihilate any tonal center whatsoever. Let me play you, out of context, the beginning of Mozart's development section. And here's the question I would ask you. If you turned on the radio and simply heard this music as the beginning of a composition, when would you say this piece had been written? When would you say that lovely and singing melody had been written? Well, yesterday? Last week? It sounds completely contemporary. We hear no recognizable harmony, no recognizable beat, no recognizable melodic strand. Is this the great Mozart, the golden-haired boy of classical melody? You betcha it is. Does this blow us away or what? I would point out that the opening of this development section begins with the rising primal scream motive of the first theme. I'll play it very slowly. Remember how the symphony began? So he begins this development with the primal scream, but from there on, everything he does is calculated to create a sense of darkness, negativity, annihilation, despair. Oh, I could continue to exercise my vocabulary, but you get the point. This is dark music, and he wipes clean the slate of B-flat major. I would point out lastly that this part one of the development section ends with this pathetic descent. That's what we call a teardrop motive, and it's the only reference to theme two that we're going to hear in the entire development. This whole development section is based on theme one and its brutal ugliness. Can he do that? Can he do that? He did. So let's understand that it's as if theme two weeps for what once was with the knowledge that it ain't going to be again. Let's listen, please, to part one of the development section, this tonal annihilation. We'll take it from the end of the exposition. We'll hear that wonderful and brilliant closed cadence, and then, bam, wipe out. Development part one. Oh, it sounds so schmerz-filled and angst-ridden. Yes, this is not going to be a happy moment for us, my friends, and we're going to dig deeper and deeper into the bowels of despair. The development is, as I said, in five parts. We will next listen to parts one and two back-to-back. Part one, in your word score, reads, blowout. Our sense of B-flat major is annihilated in a brief phrase built from the rising motive of theme one. Part two, the rising motive from theme one is tossed back and forth by various instruments over a homophonic accompaniment, over a kind of um-pa-pa-pa, um-pa-pa-pa accompaniment. Please let us listen to parts one and two of the development section again from the end of the exposition.